Well, it is wonderful to have you here this morning to celebrate this season, the season of our risen Christ, the one who was born to us and to give us peace. And today we're going to be looking a little bit closer at that, what it means. It's interesting. I think I can speak to all the guys here. You know, when you do something you shouldn't have done or said something shouldn't have did, especially to your wife or your girlfriend, what do you do? What do you do?
Run.
Somebody, I agree to that. What? Run? Yes.
And
somebody's got experience already. We can learn something from Vern. Yes. Anybody else?
Apologize.
Wow. That's even harder. Yeah. Don, we'll talk later. Anybody else? Anybody else? Talk about it. You got all these different things that we try to do. You know, and now if somebody wronged me, you know what they have to do? Chocolates. Chocolates might do that. See, what's happening is we're trying to appease them. We're trying to pacify them. We're trying to quell the anger, right, amongst the people that we've hurt or made angry at us, so the anger will go away, so they'd be pleased and happy with us again. Ashton, why are you smiling so brightly there? I don't know. Will? Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, I'm sure Will's got some flowers for you a little later on there, I'm sure. But that's, you know, that's what man does. We're always looking to appease, right? We're always trying to be crowd pleasers, person pleasers, you know, people pleasers, all that. But the issue is, it's temporary, because I don't know about you. I know I'm going to do something I shouldn't do again at some point. Those flowers are going to fade, and then I'm going to have to get some new ones, or those chocolates, or write those cards, or apologize again, or run again, and find a hiding place for a little while. Yes, Mick, I hear you. I hear it. Do you have a hiding place there? So that's what we're looking at. But, you know, in the days of Israel, in the days of ancient times, the Israelites in Leviticus, they were talking about different type of offerings they gave to God, because they want a relationship with this awesome creator God that they've been following. And so what did they do? You know, so God gave them the sacrificial system. And one of them is the peace offering. And what they are doing, they're not appeasing God. They're not trying to quell his anger, to pacify his anger, or be, you know, say, hey, please, you know, be good to me again. No. What they did with that peace offering, what it was, is a thanksgiving from a sincere heart, saying, God, I'm so thankful. And even in the difficult times, even like Hannah, who had to give up her son Samuel, who she was cried out for, she gave him to the Lord because she promised that. She says, you know, I have no resentment at all. No resentment at all of what happened in my life or what I've had to sacrifice or give up. I'm just so thankful. And I do this with a sincere heart. That's what the Israelites were doing. See, that's the type of sacrifice God will receive. See, other things, flowers and chocolates and little notes and all that stuff, you know, he already has it all. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that and about this peace. How do we attain peace? We listen to peace. We hear beauty contests. Huh? We want world peace. You know, you hear everywhere around. There's songs, world peace, 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 peace. Well, today we're going to discover a little bit more. Not a little bit more, but we're going to discover where this peace comes from. How can we attain this peace in our lives? And how do we live in peace? Let's pray. Father God, Yes, we just rejoice in those young people and their hearts, their sincere hearts before you, and just singing and these wonderful words that they spoke, just describing the season of our King being born. And thank you, Father, that we can gather together as family in Christ and friends, Lord, to learn more about you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Open our hearts. You're the only one that can open our hearts to where we can grow closer to you, to where we can even receive you. It is by your grace alone that we are saved. Bless these words. May your name be glorified and honored in it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. There is a song we'll sing after this message. It's called God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen. And as I was reading that song, I was going, oh, what a wonderful Christmas carol. And that God rest you. When I see that word rest, it just registered to me peace. Because I tell you something, I can't rest unless I am at peace. I don't know about you. If you're not at peace, you know, sometimes, you know, there might be so many things going on in my mind or whatever, or like, you know, when I grew up in California, sometimes we'd have an earthquake and they're just, your whole life was shaken up. There was no peace. You're running for your life. Or you're trying to figure out everything. How am I going to get out of this? Or how am I going to do better? Or whatever it is, you know, there's no peace. But when God says, you know, God rest you. I can almost hear his voice. My peace be with you. My peace I give to you. And so I think about that. And then as I read a little bit more in that, into the lyrics of that song, it says, don't let anything dismay you. Don't let anything dismay you. And then it goes on further. You sing it again and again. It says, and good tidings of comfort and joy will be yours, right? Good tidings. Good tidings. Those tidings, that's just a piece of news, right? So good, piece of good news to you of comfort and joy. I'm going, wow, what a wonderful song. What a wonderful thing to think about. What we need in our lives, what I need in my life. How can I get more of that? How can I get real peace? And then in Isaiah 40, as Bruce read, it's a powerful chapter. The whole chapter is powerful. The whole book of the Bible is powerful. But God said this to his people through Isaiah. He says, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And so you can see his heart for his people. They went through, they're going to go through a difficult time. This was a prophecy of what's going to happen to them. They're going to be sent into exile. All the sins that they have committed are going to come down on their heads, double portion. But God will send his word to them to comfort them and to speak tenderly to them so they can have peace in their lives. But how? How can this peace really come about? Because we know that you can't give things to appease God's anger. The Israelites had it right with this, with the, you know, what God set it up for them with the peace offering. They come before him with a sincere heart of thanksgiving, and there's no resentment. But what about us today, or even back then, after that, and the years to come to hear? We have a tendency, if you look at the history of the church or even of the people of the world, we want to appease God by following rules, saying the right type of words all the time, wearing the right type of clothes, following this rule and that rule, doing. I am doing so good. I've done so good. I've given here. I've done this. I've built this. The issue is, even our good works are like filthy rags to our Holy Father. We can't appease Him. We cannot make peace with God with anything that we do or say. No one can. No one can make peace with God. Until we come before Him with that peace offering, with sincere hearts. Because He doesn't want the things and the do's and the don'ts and all that stuff. He's looking for this, for our hearts, for your heart, for my heart, to be sincere before Him with thanksgiving and adoration and praise and worship and commitment and loyalty. All that is what He's looking for. So He knows what state we're in. He knows that we have been alienated from Him by our sins, our sinful behaviors, our rejection of Christ, rejection of the truth, even though it's all around us. If you haven't looked around you, this whole creation yells out, I am God, the Creator. I love you. Come to me. All that. But yet we suppress. We look our own ways. So we become alienated. And as God has shown us so many examples through the history of the Bible, you know, the flood came and wiped out the whole earth except for 8 people. His wrath is something we do not want to contend with. The 10 plagues on Pharaoh of Egypt and the Egyptian people. The sulfur coming down and fire, sulfur and fire coming down the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. When Joshua led the Israelites and they annihilated the people in these cities because God commanded them to. See, God put these in a word, His word for us today, to for examples that show that He is serious. He is holy. And He is somebody who we can't deal with in our own state, on our own. He is to be feared. But praise the Lord. Fear, somehow with the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord just kind of mixed in, to just kind of have a, like a little dance together throughout the whole Bible. Because even though the angel says, you know, fear not, you know, we will tremble before an angel, before God. But fear not. Because now the love of God comes in, and that love drives out, that perfect love of His drives out all fear. And it's wonderful. So, surprise! We can't bring the peace offering. We can't do anything to make peace with God. When we were in Thailand, they're always trying to make peace with God. What they thought was God, or a spirit, a demon, or whatever. Always lighting up little candles, putting things on these little houses to feed the spirits, to make them happy, and all that stuff. That's man. What do? Put donuts out there? Well, that'd be pleasing to me. Little chocolates? What do? Say a little prayer and then go on your own way? What do? Well, you know what? Praise the Lord, God isn't like us. Praise the Lord, God is not man. And I think we still get that mixed up in our silly little heads of ours. God is not man. God made man. God is spirit. He's the creator of the universe. And you know what he did to us? He did the greatest thing he could ever do. He sent a peace offering to us. He is going to make peace with us. He sent his son, his one and only son, to be born in Bethlehem in a manger, not into the palace where the wise men went to look for him. Because, yes, a great king who was born, and they were reading these things, I'm sure, from Daniel from hundreds of years ago, that he wrote about this cloud rider, this king of kings, who will have dominion forever and ever. They're going to make peace with that guy. I would. So they went to the palace in Jerusalem, saying, where's the king? We're going to worship him. Where's that baby? The next king. We're afraid of him. We want to make good with him. And they're going, no, he's not here. So God had to send out that little star. And I still think it's a Dallas Cowboy star. Oh. Don't. Oh, that. Please. But that star just guided right over the little manger, pointing to the Christ. And that Christ child, the Messiah, is there for us. Born a baby just like us. Born a baby, going to grow up just like us. He had a real clear mission. He's the peace offering, the peace child. There's a great book out there from a missionary family that went to New Guinea called The Peace Child. You should read it. It's exciting. It's impossible. Well, this is exciting and impossible because now this Christ child grows up. He becomes a man. He makes peace between God and men and women. Everyone through Christ's death on the cross. That's why he came. He didn't come to party. He didn't come just to build his own kingdom and, you know, do this and look all that and, you know, rule over the nations there. No. He could have. But he knew his clear mission was to die on the cross for us because he was the peace offering, the perfect peace offering for us. Because there's no way we can make peace with God unless we have Christ doing it for us. It's amazing what he did for us. He made the impossible possible for us. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, there's a powerful message there. It says this: for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That him is Christ Jesus. All right? And through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. How do we get peace? We can't get it. We can receive it. We can receive it. We can't work for it. We can't do anything about it, but we can receive it. This Christ on the cross bleeding for us through his shed blood has made peace between God the Father and men and women, boys and girls around the world. Because Christ has now become that peace offering that allows us to come to Him. All of our sins are now erased and not, and in God's sight, in His mind, they're gone. They're erased. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. Yeah, we might remember when somebody sins against us, but He doesn't do that. See, He's not man. He forgives completely. That His Son on the cross, He died one time, once and for all for us, to make everything perfect, the perfect peace offering. We don't need another, and there's no other out there. So if you think you can find your own road to heaven, to before this awesome God that we have to give account to, you think you could do it on your own, I beg you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come to Him. Open your hearts and your eyes to Him. Because I don't want you going to separation from God. The place of hell is not a place that anybody should go to. Though actually, we all deserve it. We have all deserved to go to hell. We are deserving of death and separation from God. There's nothing in us that is good before Him. It is He's the one that made peace with us because of that love for us was so great, a love that we cannot even grasp the depth and width and height and length. We can't, but it's there, and it's offered in this child and this man named Jesus Christ, born for us, to die for us, to make peace with us. That's God's heart for us. So that's how do you attain peace? You want peace in your life? You're tired of living in this world and just things blowing up at you all the time? Well, it's still going to do it. Still going to do it, whether you receive peace or not. The world's still going to be the world, okay? But we're going to have peace between us and God the Father. We're going to be made right with Him. Everything is okay there now. So we receive peace. We attain it through Christ alone. So how do we live it? How do we live in peace in this world? How do we live in peace with our own sinful nature that we deal with day after day, even though we are followers of Christ by His grace alone? It's a struggle. I don't know about you. I struggle. It's hard. Well, as you go on in there in Isaiah 40, 3-5, it's talking about this voice calling out in the desert, right? Preparing the way for the Messiah. You know, that's John the Baptist. This is speaking, 500-600 years before John the Baptist was born. And he was out there in that desert calling people to repent. Repent of your sins and believe. For the kingdom of God is near. So there. And as you read that, everything being made right. See, God is sending hope. He's saying, hey, things are all right. Because I'm gonna help you. I'm sending a helper your way. And this hope gives us peace. Because I tell you something, as I think about hope, I don't think I can have peace without hope. Because this hope that I had already, you know, in the past, what Christ has done for me and what He's doing for me now, and that what He's going to do for me in the future when He comes back as the King of Kings. See, that hope that I have stirs my heart. It stirs my heart to say, oh, what do I have to worry about? Yeah, I got to deal with my own sin some, you know, at times. I got to deal with this world that's just going crazy around me. But I'm right with God because of Christ. I have a peace there. That hope, knowing that he is always with me. You know, what is that? That mystery? That mystery? Christ, what is that? Christ in you. The hope of glory. See, by God's great mercy, it says Peter, by God's great mercy, we were born into what? A new hope, a living hope. We have been given a new birth into a living hope. A new birth, that means that our hearts are changed by Christ as we receive him. And then in Psalms 42, there is, you know, when we're all troubled and worried over this and that, listen to the psalmist. I don't know, it might have been David. It says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Have you ever asked that question of yourself? Why am I so disturbed today? Why am I so anxious today? Why am I so angry today? Why are you just feeling really off today? With no hope or anything like that. Well, listen to this. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. See, that hope is key. And hope and faith are just kind of, they're just kind of a little linked together. If you really look at them throughout the Bible. Faith, hope, very close, very similar, working together in tandem in our lives. Without hope, we cannot have peace. If we can hope and, oh, I hope you're feeling better tomorrow. I hope I get that job. I hope Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl this year. Angry crowd. I speak peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Peace. Only way that he can give. Right? Those hopes. Hope, 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 hope. You hear it a lot. I know you do. I hope this. I hope that. Oh, da, da. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you said it, Mick. Just, you know what it's all about. It's fleeting. It's fleeting. It's not reliable. But this hope in Christ, ooh, that's different. That's not on a person. That's not on a system in the world. That's not on a philosophy. No, that is on a rock. The rock of Christ that doesn't get shaken, does not move, does not change. His love is forevermore, same and always, unconditional, always there for us, for everyone. And that peace and that hope that we have, because we're made right with him. We're made right with God the Father through him. Because of what he's done for us. So we're given peace. And with that peace comes comfort. Oh, the cuddly, nicey comfort, yes. And the joy. Oh, even in the suffering, the joy in that. You know, that is where the testimonies are even greater. Whenever I read the books in the Bible or other books, and, you know, these people don't go la, 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 la throughout life. Everything going hunky-dory, everything's given to them whatever they want. Nuh-uh. You know, it's just amazing to look. And I love to read your stories. I would like to read each one of your stories and watch, see the impossible things God is doing in your life. You might not even know it. You might not even receive them. You might even want to know God at this time. But he's writing a story in your life. And your stories are amazing. And you're just sitting there going, oh, what suffering you've gone through, all these problems, these issues. You've grown up with this defect or, you know, whatever. You know, you're growing up in a society that's just godless. People in Thailand and other countries, godless. But you look at those lives and they just, the light of Christ shines through them. And there's joy there, even in the suffering. Those wonderful witnesses of people who stand firm in a faith, even in the suffering, gives testimony to all around us, and we, all those who see and hear, and it impacts our lives. And there's that joy. I don't know about if you ever felt that joy, that peace, that comfort before. I hope you do. I do. I need it. Because this world is crazy. I'm crazy. If you haven't noticed. But just give me chocolate. I speak peace to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak peace to you. But that is what it is. Surprise! The greatest gift of all. We always have these gifts. You know, we get all going out there and get all these nice paper and we wrap them up and we put them in stockings, put them under the tree and all that stuff. Oh, we're so excited. Well, you know what? It's already unwrapped. The most wonderful present we can ever receive. Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our coming King, our healer, our sanctifier. He's our peace offering. So, you want peace? You need to come before God with a sincere heart. Sincere heart, confessing your sins, receiving Him with adoration and thanksgiving, no resentment. Thank you, Father, for my life. Thank you for every breath you give me, every step I take, every heartbeat I have. And then you want to live in it? Live in peace? Well, you need to walk with Christ. Keep your eyes focused on what He's already done for us. Read Romans 8. This is your homework. Read Romans 8, because we did that. What was that? That was our Wednesday life group. Read Romans 8, because that's going to speak to you about what hope really is. Because hope, this isn't a fleeting hope. This is a hope on someone who says we are more than conquerors in Him. Neither death nor life can separate us from His love. Nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing in this world can separate us from His love. So knowing that, past, present, right now, future, you keep your eyes on Him, you will be able to live in peace. And that comfort and joy will come alongside that. And your lives will be a testimony to those who are frantically, anxiously running around in this world dealing with it. And they're looking for peace. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for joy. Well, now we can follow what Peter was saying. Share. Be ready to share your hope. Be ready to share your hope with these people. Because they're going to ask you about it. It's not in my family, though I love my family. It's not in anything else in this world that I value. It's in Christ alone. My hope is in Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, again, your word is powerful. Lord, thank you for the hope. And thank you for the peace offering in Jesus Christ. Oh, I think of the days when I was walking without you, and I was so anxious. I had no peace in this world. And what I thought was peace was just fleeting. So, Father, I just praise you and thank you for the peace offering of Christ that is everlasting and unshakable. It only gets shaken when I do it myself, when I start doubting, when I turn my eyes away from you. That's when it happens. But Lord, when I turn my eyes to you and I open my heart with sincerity unto you, Nothing can take my peace away. This peace that I receive in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that for each one of us, for each one who knows you, each one who doesn't know you yet. As their Lord and Savior, I pray for your peace to abound. Open hearts, draw us near. And may we share this hope that we have in you with others, that others can receive the same peace and the comfort and joy that comes along with it. We praise you and thank you for this time together in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.